Welcome back into this July 3rd edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Now happy to welcome the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Mike Haas, to the radio huddle. Mike, how you been, man? Thank you for filling in last week.
Oh, no problem. It was interesting and fun. And yeah, it's the dog days, right? It's the summer. When LSU's not in the College World Series, it just kind of lengthens that time before training camp. But I mean, I feel like let's get to camp. Like, this has been the weirdest kind of offseason. Tano Passanio, Alvin Kamara the last day, now Juwan Johnson. I'm like, let's just get to camp. Like, the news is happening too quick for stuff that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, 3 weeks away, you guys will be out in California for the Saints' first practice. I know that you got to be at least happy to get away from this heat for a little bit. It has definitely been brutal outside, and I guess a good thing that the Saints are going through these renovations at their facility to have to head out west because, man, oh, man, we're not even in August yet. I can't even imagine what it would be like outside there. But California this time of year will definitely be a lot cooler for you. What are some of the – we were talking about some of the big black and gold storylines, headlines heading into training camp. Obviously, I think you mentioned one right there with Alvin Kamara. Obviously, the last day of minicamp was supposedly there for the walkthrough, and then he vanished. We didn't see him at all through that last day of minicamp, and there were reports coming out afterwards. Now he's holding out, looking for a new contract from this team. We haven't had any kind of really – word or any other more news coming out about, you know, the team and him working on a new contract. But man, oh man, he's such a key and important part of this team's offense. And I just feel like, especially going into this year, where I would imagine he'd have such a big role in that new Clint Kubiak offense.
Yeah, and I think it'll happen. I think it will get done to some degree, but that position to me is one of the big ones. Because Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Jordan Mims, Alvin Kamara, you know, kind of basically the same, you know, set that you had last year. You throw in Adam Prentice and they brought in Xander Horvath at fullback. But, you know, on paper, yeah, it looks great. But Kendre had the ankle injury last year. Jamal just never really kind of got going. And so, and Alvin, you know, when you his last 2 years has been a struggle. He's been the leading rusher the last six seasons, but he was 3.9 yards a carry last year. That was the second lowest of his career. He caught a bunch of passes, but I feel like the screen game is not what it used to be for this football team. And, you know, he didn't get a lot of out of it. But to me, the biggest situation that I – and everybody's been watching is going to be the offensive line.
Right. That leads right in from the running game to the O-line. Totally.
Right. There's so many questions that you kind of have, like how is Fuego going to be a left tackle, Taliesin? And then he played mostly right tackle, right? And played left tackle since high school. Trevor Penning at right tackle. He's not played right tackle. He was started at left tackle. Not Fresh really start. Sure who the left guard is. So that's a lot. That feels like a lot of – that may turn out fine, right? It may be – who knows? You know, it's a different system. It's more of a blocking to an area-wide zone system, less kind of mono-a-mono. And so it might work out okay, but I don't know that there are many teams in this situation – 3 weeks out of camp that but not really sure who the left guard is, and you got a new left tackle who's a rookie and a new right tackle who's basically a rookie, you know, then Cesar Ruiz and you know, Eric McCoy. But other than that, there's just some questions. It may work out fine. Landon Young played right tackle some. Udo, the free agent from Minnesota, played right and left tackle. So it may be fine, but it just feels a little – you know, questionable right at this juncture. I think that's a fair assessment. And then the tight end situation, you know, with Juwan Johnson, here's what I know. We don't know a lot about his injury. We don't know a lot about when he'll come back. I do know that based on past experience, they don't come back anytime sooner than we think. It's right, always exactly. Seems to be later and longer, right? I mean, that's just my experience. So, I mean, Foster Moreau, you look at this room, Dallin Hooker, he was interesting. We saw a lot of him in the OTAs, the mini camps, because he was there, right? We just saw a lot of him. He has this long blonde hair. He sticks out. He just sticks out. But he's actually one of the smaller tight ends to have. He's 6'3", 241. And then it's Michael Jacobson, Jesper Horsted, Tommy Hudson. You know, it's just a – and then clearly Foster Moreau. But where does Taysom Hill fit into this?
Everywhere.
You were at OTAs. You were at minicamp. He was – I've never seen him catch more passes than he did in the OTAs and minicamp. And this is coming off of his most prolific career season – catching the ball. He had 43 receptions until last year as a career. And then last year he had 33, 291 yards, most yards, two TDs. So maybe they're looking more at him as a tight end situation. And then when you get Juwan back and Foster, I mean, maybe that's it, that maybe we're worrying too much about that position, but it just, there's a lot of bodies there, a lot of bodies that kind of look alike, same kind of skill set. So I'm interested to see that. And I'm interested to see the wide receivers. There's so many people that could come out of this group. I mean, you can't fault them for what they did in the offseason with Stanley Morgan, Equanimeous St. Brown, who to me, he's a big dude, 6'5", 214. I really want to see if A.T. Perry can kind of continue being that guy that jump ball guy, the back shoulder guy. But there's a lot of competition. They didn't want to draft Bub Means, Stanley Morgan. I mean, it's a deep receiving room, which is good. We'll see what comes out of it. I mean, and then I've spent some of Sam on the offense. Defensively, you know, they lose Passanio, right? They lose him before the season with an Achilles.
That was a surprise, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, curious as to, I mean, the battle will be second safety. You know, I feel like they're in pretty good shape. Even if they play more base linebacker, which they did not do, they've been more two linebacker, five DB. I feel like it's also time for, you know, some of these Saints guys, the Isaiah Foskeys, and can Peyton Turner stay healthy? There's a lot of questions that we seem to ask every year, but I think we saw some stints. We saw some moments from Brian Brzee that was enough for me. Like, it was impressive. It's things that you don't see rookies do. A lot of batted down balls. I think his progression will speak volumes for what this team does in the middle.
So, Mike, let's circle back around to the wide receiver position, because as you mentioned, offensive line, tight end are big question marks, but wide receiver I feel like is kind of an under the radar spot on this team as far as Chris Olave and his expectations heading into 2024-25. I think that, you know, he's the guy. Like, this is the first time he is the number one receiver on this team, undisputed. And so Derek Carr's going to pepper him with targets. You can imagine that happening all season long if he stays healthy. Rashid Shaheed's number two, I would imagine, as well. So then the kind of question mark is, who's the wide receiver three on this roster? My first question for you is about Olave and what your general expectations for him are. We talked with Brian Baldinger a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned that there have been times where you've seen receivers have good first two seasons, and then they just take a huge jump in year three. And I think we're having that expectation for Olave, that he kind of becomes a star player in his third year. He's been a very good player in the first two, and he's put on some muscle in the offseason. He's looking really good with his connection with Carr throughout the training, throughout minicamp and OTAs. You're hoping that can continue into training camp. So first and foremost, the expectation for Chris Olave. And then as far as wide receiver three goes, Cedric Wilson has obviously stood out. Equanimeous St. Brown was another veteran they went out and got. And then A.T. Perry, who Dennis Allen's been pretty critical of as far as needing to be consistent. But if he can provide that consistency, you know they'd love for a young player that they drafted, second-year guy, to be that wide receiver three on this team.
No, I agree. And I think Olave is, you know, he does everything right. Good routes, 1,000 yards in his first 2 years, 5 touchdowns last year. He'd probably like that number a little higher. I think the key for Olave, and this is going to be a weird way to answer this question, is going to be who is number two and three and how strong are they? If you're Chris Olave and you don't have, you know, you don't have strong twos and threes and they can focus on you, it's going to be tough for Olave. But I don't think that's going to be the situation. I do agree. I think Shaheed is your number two, but it's situational. I think it would be a situational number two because he's got so much speed. And I like, as you say, A.T. Perry at 6'5", 205, St. Brown at 6'5", 214. One of those guys needs to be, because it's probably not, as we sit right now, going to be your tight end, you know, down the seam, doing some back shoulders, doing those jump balls. And if those guys can be that guy, and Cedric Wilson continues in his seventh year, they signed him to a two-year deal, so they're expecting more out of Cedric Wilson. I agree with you. It is a very strong room, and I think skill set wise they're not all the same. I think they're actually quite different from a skill set situation. Size, speed, length, arm length. And so I'm interested in that position battle, but to me it's going to be a win-win. You've got good players. You're going to end up with good situation players. And just how strong does A.T. Perry move up? How can Olave just kind of keep going? Can Shahid, be that threat more as a receiver other than the deep ball? And he, good gosh, Shahid did just about anything you could have won, last year. 46 catches, 5 touchdowns, 719 yards. So it's a pretty good room.
Mike, curious, you get to talk to head coach Dennis Allen a lot during the season, a coach's show, pregame interviews. Gone 7 wins his first season as the head coach, 9 wins this past season, and always seems to be under a ton of heat, whether it's from the local or national media. But he seems to be carrying himself well to me. I don't know. He seems very confident, ready to move this team forward into hopefully a playoff appearance this year. But just from what you got to see from Dennis Allen from minicamp, was wondering your gauge of him.
Well, he was about as open as I've ever seen a head coach be in those post minicamp OTA pressers. Normally they're 10 questions. They can't wait to get out of there. He was thoughtful. He answered everything that you wanted. Dennis Allen is Dennis Allen. He is comfortable in his skin. He's not going to change. If you don't like his sideline demeanor, guess what? Sorry. It is what it is. That's the way he was as a defensive coordinator. There would be times as a defensive coordinator when the team was on the other end of the field, like down by the goal line, he'd be standing next to me and I was doing sideline. He would be the farthest away because that's where he can kind of get the best vantage point. But then he's not engaged. So, if you win, here's what I say about these coaches who say, well, he's not very, demonstrative on the sidelines, but he doesn't care. Guess what? If you win, you can go on the bench and color. We're good, right? And so I do feel like even though he knows the pressure is there and this is third year, 9-8 and a playoff appearance this year to me is paramount, period. I think he knows that. I think others know that as well. If for whatever reason you go 10-7 and miss the playoffs, and that's happened, be surprising, but it's happened. Maybe it's different, but I do feel there is pressure. I think he's handled it well just because he doesn't change. If you don't like it, he is who he is.
Yeah, looking at the offensive side of the ball with a new coordinator in town, it's going to be interesting to see. You mentioned a little bit, we're talking about Taysom Hill. It just seems, though, that his involvement is going to be even greater this season. And we talked about a little of his touches were a career high a year ago. I'm wondering, is there a chance that Taysom, tops that this year in the Clint Kubiak scheme? Because it just seems from tight end to, wide receiver, running back, to even fullback now, we're just seeing Taysom everywhere on this field.
Yeah, and I think that Kubiak, this is just me, I feel like if you watched every play from the Saints, if you watch every Taysom Hill play last year, when he was in a quarterback on 2nd and 3, you knew the play.
Right.
It was QB power, right? QB draw, QB sweep, whatever it was, they became somewhat predictable. And I think if I were a new coordinator and I came in and had this, this guy, this skill set that nobody else has, that will run through a brick wall, will kick off, will do anything you want. I don't know. I'm curious like everybody else. All we can do is go by what we saw. And we certainly saw him running far more different routes you know, deep ends, posts, different types of routes in OTAs and minicamp. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe is that more, you can't say it's more of a result of what we didn't know. The Juwan thing hadn't happened yet. So was that more of, hey, I just want to see him in a non-QB running role. And I think if you see him less in that role, he'll probably be more effective. It just because it became somewhat predictable. So I, you know, who's the backup, right? If Derek Carr, who's been about as gritty as you want to see, you know, goes down, is it Jake Haener, right? Is it, you know, is he going to be the two at this point? I believe so. But these are the questions that get answered in a 90-man roster that you don't have to cut, right? It's three games, and those two practices with the Niners will be huge. And you've touched on this, and it's about going back to California. And to me, it started in Green Bay. And Green Bay was just perfect 2 days of practicing.
Right.
And I've said this on record, I've never seen two better days of practicing than Costa Mesa with the Chargers. Perfect weather, crisp, no injuries, no fights. It was just good work. And if that solidified, like, hey, renovation, yeah, we're good. Because you can get so much accomplished out there. Most of your games are indoors anyway. You don't have to prepare for, you know, the stifling heat anywhere. In fact, you're going to be in Green Bay in December and New York in December. So I'm interested to see. It's been a long time since they've been on the road, but I think those practices in Costa Mesa last year played heavily in the decision to go back to Irvine. They're right next to each other.
Yeah, hopping to the defensive side of the ball here, Mike, heading into training camp, I think that, you know, secondary-wise, you know what you have in a cornerback room that is one of the best in the NFL. And so you're very confident in that, especially those top four guys with Lattimore and Adebo and Alante Taylor and now Kool-Aid McKinstry as well, who we haven't really gotten a chance to look at because he's recovering from that foot injury, but their expectation for him is still very, very high in his rookie year, a second-round pick out of Alabama. But as far as the safety position goes, I think that's a little bit more of a question mark as far as you have Tyrann Mathieu, but who's going to be the guy starting next to him? Jonathan Abram and Jordan Howden, I think it's going to be a great battle, you know, to keep an eye on throughout training camp. But what are your early kind of thoughts on that position?
Yeah, I think that is one of the battles that we'll be looking at. And I think Abram came in and played pretty strong towards the end of the year when he got a really chance to play. And I don't mean just, you know, a few snaps here and there. And he's in his going into his sixth year. I do believe he and Howden will battle. And, you know, Howden has shown, you know, times when he's been really strong back there. They can kind of, they can all kind of play, move around from a positional standpoint. If you can't assume that nobody's going to get hurt ever, in, you know, in that safety room. Tyrann entered his 12th year. I think. Lattimore back, DB-wise, you're fine. I do think from a safety standpoint, those are the battles, right? You don't go in automatically. I felt like with Marcus May, probably last year, you kind of knew who your safeties were. There seemed to be more roles and more battles for starters this year than I can remember. Now, some of that is maybe going to more of a base defense, which would be three linebackers instead of two. And I liked what I saw out of Nephi Sewell towards the end of last year. This football team towards the end of last year, it's just such a different football team to be offensively and defensively. Specifically offensively, when I felt like Derek Carr finally began to trust his receivers. Know there was receivers, trust his receivers. And defensively, even though didn't really come from the edges as much, one of Cam's best years, but you know, still played well, just didn't have the numbers. Man, but they're gonna have to do it this year with pressure. They're gonna send pressure with four, right? That's where this team is at its best. Pressure with four, and put those quarterbacks, you know, on their back heel with you know, two linebackers and five DBs, however you want to do it. But they got to get pressure with four without having to blitz.
Mike, definitely appreciate the time because I feel like everybody is already on vacation. You got any good plans for the 4th of July, going anywhere or hosting anything?
I am supposed to be on the road right now to Bay St. Louis, but we have Essence Fest here this weekend at the Superdome, so I'll be kind of back and forth. So nothing extravagant. It's all moving very quickly.
Yeah, pretty soon you'll be flying out to Irvine, California for those practices starting up on the 24th. I think you guys are taking off on the 22nd. So soon enough, you'll get some weather relief.
Yeah, we don't talk about the dates in front of my wife. Okay? We don't. She still thinks I'm going for 2 weeks. So it will be a nice respite for sure.
Awesome stuff. Mike Hawes, voice of the Saints. Appreciate the time, my man.
Thank you, man. Bye, Charlie.
Thanks, Mike.
That was Mike Hawes, voice of the Saints. Obviously, you can hear him every game day here on WWL Saints Radio. Him and Deuce McAllister with the call. Also, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak and my co-host on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. He's headed off. He's in Texas right now, hopefully avoiding all the madness of Beryl that could be heading his direction over there.